As Nico has said multiple times, tonight's a worship night, and so we're doing things a little bit differently. Rather than having a full sermon, I'm just going to share a few thoughts on worship, and then we're going to get on with the kind of the main thing, as it were. I think it's really easy for us as we approach worship to think it's a bit of a pointless exercise, to engage with it as though it's kind of a time where we rehearse truths that have got a bit dry and are maybe not being played as musically as they could be. They are always played beautifully here, but or a time of like kind of pointless or just self-gratification where we go and we come and we sing, "Oh Jesus, you love me, love me, love me," until we feel nice. I think basically what I want to say tonight is that there is more to worshipping Jesus than self-help, and there is more to worshipping Jesus than a pointless ritual. The biblical view of worship is so big. If you have Bibles, which none of you do, I'd love it if we could turn to Exodus 33 and 34. In chapter 33, verse 18, Moses says to God, "Now show me your glory." And the beauty of the passage that we're about to read is that it's God's response to that. It's God's response to Moses' cry, "Now show me your glory." It says, starting verse 5, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation.'" Moses' response was to bow down to the ground at once and worship. What there in that passage made Moses worship? Let's have some thoughts from the floor. Anything else? I think the most beautiful thing about this passage is the fact that it is the one time, one of the few times in the Bible where God himself speaks and declares his character. And this is the God that is revealed to us. Today, as we worship, we stand before the King who created the universe. The one who has authority and dominion, who is unfailingly compassionate, unfailingly gracious, forgives all of our sins, unfailingly loving, just and faithful. He is the King of glory, and in sung worship, we declare that he is worthy of that, that he is glorious and he is worthy of that. We remind ourselves of what he has revealed to us in the Bible, of his glorious character revealed by his own voice. He is holy and he is worthy, which is why we are here. Of course, you might be sat saying, "Sure, Moses worships because he's had a special revelation of God. I haven't been up a mountain and seen God's back. Does it apply to me?" And I think actually, turning to the New Testament, we find that the declaration made there is even bigger than the one we have in Exodus. We have an even greater revelation of God, as mind-blowing as that might seem. 2 Corinthians 3, 18 says, "We all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And the great act of the cross is that God removes the distance. The veil which separates us is removed. And we can, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory in full. Where Moses had to petition, "Show me your glory," we don't have to, that doesn't have to be us. Paul is saying, we all do it. Because actually, the glory of the New Testament, of what Jesus did on the cross, is that we stand before Jesus and we can see his glory. We do not have to, it doesn't have to be this like process of striving for it, because at the cross we see it. We see today God's glory in all its fullness. We see in the way that Jesus dies on the cross, God's glory in his character and his love. In all of its fullness. Jesus loves you today. He delights over you today. And he stands in glory today. How do we respond? Let it be by giving him the praise he is due. Let's be people who give him the glory he deserves. Those that cry, "Great are you, Lord. Holy are you, God." That's why we're doing this today. And so I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship together again. Lord Jesus, you are holy. You are gracious. You are compassionate. You are Lord of all. And you delight over us and you love us. We thank you for the utter goodness of your character revealed in Scripture. And I pray as we sing that we would see your glory, we would understand fully what is being claimed by the Christian faith. And that our response would be awe. And that our response would be worship, and our response would be surrender. We thank you so that you are so good. And we thank you that you love us so dearly, Lord. Will you be here now by your Holy Spirit? Amen.